Yes, sir. Our next subdivision is, our next public hearing is subdivision 2005-85, Ernest H. Hosse III.
It's an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Nanticoke Country in Sussex County, dividing 31.7 acres into 21 lots, utilizing a cluster development concept located south of Route 18, 0.9 mile northwest of Route 529. And I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has any additional comments.
Mr. Wheatley, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet on December 4th. That'll be made a part of the record, and the TAC report of June 21st for this year will be made a part of the record.
All right, sir. Thank you. I believe Mr. Rutt's with us this evening representing this application.
Good evening, Mr. Wheatley. Yes, for the record, my name is David Rutt. I'm representing the applicant. On the hearing exhibit and summary, I did put my bar number.
So we have yours on file.
I knew that, but just in anticipation that that might be a question. In case you forgot or you were going to ask.
Okay.
So this is an application for a subdivision of 31.5+ acres into 21 lots. And the lots include one large lot, Lot 14, which is where Mr. Hosse has his current house. To assist you, I have some hand size subdivision plans.
Great, thanks. Can hand them up to Mr. Link, please.
Not sure.
We can share.
Yeah, you got enough.
Yep, play it. You gotta pass these down.
When you look at the plan, you'll see that the smallest lot on the plan is actually Lot 21, which is up near the front, which is a little more than 23,000 square feet. Also included are stormwater management areas of over 1 1/3 acres, open space of over 4 1/3 acres, and street areas. And that doesn't include open area on Lot 14, which is over 6 acres and has considerable area in the back that is mostly wooded. When you look at all this, over 1/3 of the land itself on this subdivision will be open space or remain in forested areas. The setbacks will all meet the requirements. We have the buffer area to the south, the 30-foot buffer. We also then have space along the streets as open space, as well as space along State Route 18, which I will address in a moment. In the rear, we're showing a forested buffer of 50 feet, but you'll note that there is considerable woodlands on the western end of the property, and there will only be a disturbance on Lot 13 of a minimal amount, and I will address that in a minute. There will also be a homeowners association. There are restrictive covenants in the packet that I had presented. The streets will be private and constructed to Sussex County standards, and the maintenance will be the responsibility of the developer initially and then subsequently the homeowners. This did go through the TAC review, and on tab 7, I have addressed some of the comments of the TAC committee. The Office of Drinking Water does not require any approval since we're going to have on-site wells for this particular subdivision. All street names have been approved. The Department of Agriculture has accepted the forested buffer as shown on the preliminary site plan. It was recommended that an additional buffer be placed along any woodlands or any wetlands. My applicant or my client doesn't believe that there are any wetlands on the site. However, he has retained someone to do a wetland delineation just to verify that in fact there are no wetlands. If there are, there will be appropriate buffers on a final site plan for that purpose. The Department of Agriculture has also asked that minimum tree removal occur. The only trees that would be removed would be on lot 13, which would be which is on the western end, and that's only what would be necessary for the building envelope and the on-site septic. But in turn, my client has already planted over 600 trees on the site. This was primarily open meadow, and if you look at the photographs that were made a part of the booklet, you can see that there were several trees. I have color copies of those photographs. And those color copies will show a little better the trees that have already been planted. And you can note on the subdivision plan itself what is identified as open space on the north side. That's primarily meadow, but there have been some trees planted. Mr. Hossie will be planting some more trees in that area. The Natural Resources Conservation Service has noted that the soils in this area are generally sandy and well-drained. There has not been a soils feasibility study done yet. That, again, is in the process. So, recognizing that, obviously, that would have to be provided before any approvals would be made. Department of Natural Resources photocopied its letter that it does all the time for the wetlands, that you have to follow the best management practices, which Mr. Hossie clearly, you know, would be following. And again, you know, we'll put more trees on site. The Soil Conservation District really had nothing to say other than we have to follow the sediment control plans, and obviously anything that is done on site has to meet all of their requirements. If there are any questions on the stormwater management, Mr. Adams is here from Adams Kemp, and he can address that. And Mr. Kemp is also here for any questions on the design. But you'll note that on the plan itself, there are two stormwater management areas. There's one adjacent to Route 18, and there is one then in the, I guess it would be the southwest corner of the property. There will be swales that will be put into the development that will direct all water there so that the groundwater recharge occurs. The Delaware State Fire Marshal has addressed the design requirements and for the streets and cul-de-sacs, and there really were no questions other than final approval when the final site plan is presented. There are no underground tanks. The county engineers had some technical aspects of the site plan, but again, those are things for final site plan review. Now, there was one issue regarding the Department of Transportation. They require along Route 13 certain easements and rights-of-ways. Now, the preliminary design doesn't meet all of those exactly in terms of the widths. They are calling for different numbers on the widths, but there's sufficient room there to meet whatever requirements they make. For example, they're calling for 155 feet from center line for the right-of-way, and when you actually look at this with the open space and the walkways, we have 60 feet. So there's enough room there to make adjustment on those lines. There will be a permanent bike path easement along Route 18 for bike path and pedestrian ways. And the applicant will also then obtain whatever entrancing permits are required. The application itself and the applicant has met the requirements of the subdivision ordinance, in particular 99.9. There's not going to be any change in the terrain except what may be is needed for the swales, for the stormwater management. There will be landscaping around the subdivision. Again, we don't think there are any wetlands, but we have retained a specialist to verify that. There is no historical significance to the site that anyone is aware of. And as far as natural terrain goes, there will be as minimal disturbance as possible. And again, the only wood disturbance will be in the rear on lot 13. The open space, again, shown on the site is over 4 1/3 acres. The open, large open space area in the center, Mr. Hossie intends to develop or to improve as a community park area, so that there will be over 4 acres for some walking trails. There's room there to put a basketball court, a tot lot, anything that, that may be necessary. Mr. Johnson, I know, likes basketball courts. And he's like me. We can go to the hoop, and if it's that far off the ground.
Give me a step ladder.
I know. So there really are no scenic views that are going to be adversely affected. The woods are not going to be disturbed, and in fact, then there's going to be the buffers around the property. There's not going to be any soil removal except as necessary for the stormwater ponds, and those are the only places there will be any type of grade changes. We don't feel there are any objectionable features on the site. If there are, the buffers will take care of that. The north is already wooded. The south is a farm, but we've maintained the boundary area. In fact, there's already tree line been put in there. Some of the types of trees are red oak, ash, honey locust, red maple. There are a few Leland cypress, but Mr. Hossie is trying to utilize native plants from the Department of Agriculture list as much as possible. This sewage treatment will be on-site septic treatments. The stormwater and surface groundwater pollution, if any, will be handled by the stormwater ponds, which in turn will handle the groundwater recharge. There will not be any basements on the property. They're going to be on foundations. So we don't think that that will be a problem in terms of flooding. The streets are, again, going to be to the Sussex County requirements. There's room out near the entrance for a bus stop if that is required. Mr. Hossie anticipates this is primarily going to be older people that live in here, but if not, you know, if there are some children, a bus stop, there's room out there for them. Sidewalks will be required when construction is done. It doesn't really want to put in sidewalks because of the construction, the possibility of being destroyed. So after the houses are finished, you know, there will be some sidewalks built in there. There may be a question raised that was raised by the engineers as to the location of Greenway Place as it comes in from Route 18. And that was a question of whether we could move the street over a little bit to the north. And I believe Mr. Kemp has talked to the engineers about adjusting that. That shouldn't be a problem since the property that is there that would be affected are members of Mr. Hossie's family. So if we need an easement for utilities along there, that won't be an issue. No traffic impact study was required, excuse me, because this is a smaller subdivision. We don't believe there's going to be any adverse impact on property values. There's never been anything shown that a subdivision will adversely impact, you know, farmland, especially with the buffers and taking care of or meeting the requirements of the county. This property is, had at one time had some farming done on it, but because of the irregular shape on it, it just wasn't feasible to continue to do that. It's primarily a meadow. There is a nursery here adjacent to this, and that again is owned by members of Mr. Hossie's family. The property is in proximity of Elmer's Market, which is a high volume traffic area. When you look at the traffic on this, and if you take the national standard of about 10 trips per residential household per day and extrapolate that, any traffic impact here is about one car every 8 to 10 minutes, you know, which on Route 18 is a minimal number. The subdivision, as far as waterways go, there really is no impact on the waterways. There is a tax ditch that runs through here, but the water is not being directed. Any stormwater is not being directed to that tax ditch. It's going to the stormwater ponds, which is, again, a requirement of the soil conservation. So we won't be disturbing or doing anything there. If there is any water that goes into the tax ditch, it would only be in the event of an extreme storm and if there is any water overflow. But otherwise, it's going to go back into the ground on the recharge of the soil. Mr. Hossie is truly a Sussex County resident. This property is in the Indian River School District, Sussex Central Schools, Seaford Volunteer Fire Department. He has a Bridgeville phone number and a Georgetown address. So he has a little bit of everything going or coming, whatever way you want to go. This property is suitable for this particular type of use, and we ask that you give it favorable consideration.
All right, sir. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you.
Okay. And Mr. Hossie is here, as well as Mr. Adams and Mr. Kemp, for any technical questions on the plan itself.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Gordy.
So do you have a septic feasibility?
No, we do not
yet. Okay.
No.
Okay, and you answered my question about the bus stop. The existing dwelling, is that going to be part of the HOA?
Yes.
It will be part.
Okay. Yes.
And then you said there will be sidewalks after?
After construction, yes, there will be sidewalks.
And I got a question about the stormwater management pond along Route 18 that's in front of of John and Colleen Briggs.
Okay, I'll defer to Mr. Adams on that. He's the stormwater expert.
I'm wondering why it's there and if there's an issue with the Briggs.
Mr. Adams, if you're going to be testifying as an expert, we need you to put your credentials on the record, please, even though you're well known to everybody here.
Yes, Charles Adams with Adams Kemp, professional land surveyor, located in Georgetown.
Okay.
This pond is located, the front pond is in the area of your daughter, your...
Route 18.
Yeah, I mean your daughter.
Yes.
Your daughter owns this area, and the arrangement has been made to use that area for stormwater management. There's a high portion of this property that's located in the area of lots 9, 19, and 20, with a break point going each way, requiring a storage area for the downslope area headed toward 18. So that is providing that storage area for stormwater around the entranceway and for the entire road system from lot 9 to 18.
Okay. Thank you. One more. The lands, I guess lands of Donald and Beatrice Moore, they're in ag preservation?
I believe so, yes.
Since there's a 50-foot easement there?
And that's why, there's
the
buffer plus considerable woodlands already there that are not going to be disturbed.
That's all the questions I have.
All right, sir, Mr. Smith.
Thank you. So you're doing a wetland delineation, and if wetlands specific nature discovered, there would be no lot lines.
Then there will be the required buffers.
Go into those.
Yes.
Okay. And your restricted covenants, that they be stick-built homes, you're putting a cap of not to exceed 2,500 square feet on the houses.
Yes. Mr. Hossie wants to keep them not to have McMansions, so to speak, and to keep them reasonably sized and affordable. And as I indicated, his idea is that older people or retirees may be purchasing them. Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Mr. Rudd, I'm going to ask you to tell us what a McMansion is, because there's one or two of us in the room here that are puzzled, but I think I know what it means. But maybe.
Well, a McMansion is a 40,000 square foot house on a 2,000 square foot lot. It's one of those big. You've never heard that expression? A McMansion. Go around Washington D.C.
Yeah.
And you'll see a lot of them out there, where they have subdivisions of these huge houses on small lots.
Teeny tiny lots, and they're called McMansions.
McMansions.
Because what's the, like McDonald's?
I guess.
That's supersized.
Supersized.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Continue.
You've learned a new word.
I have indeed. Thank you.
That's it.
All right. Mr. Johnson.
I guess this is a question for Mr. Adams. Is there any way that stormwater management pond that's stuck out by the road, can that be relocated somewhere else, or is that like it?
It's at the lowest part of the property is located at 18, in that area. So it furnishes good drainage for the entranceway, which the DelDOT likes. Even though they don't want the excess drainage to come on their property, it won't. They're going to direct it into our own property. So it could be pushed toward the back, or maybe toward the back of the lot somewhat, but the grades may not make it work out that way.
Because I know of recent experience, the commission has frowned upon the roadside stormwater management ponds. They tend to become trash collectors and eyesore type things. Even though I understand the families there, generations come and go. And
from what I've seen in their landscaping abilities in this family, they're going to make a really nice looking thing out of it. That's what I envision.
Is this envisioned as a dry pond?
No.
Or a wet pond?
Wet pond.
I have no further questions.
All right, Mr. Burton.
Is the open space meant to be a place to play, or is it just the access to that is?
It's going to be landscaped. There will be open area there, so people could have a softball game or something if they wanted. Plus, as I indicated, there are going to be spaces in there for room for a basketball court and tot lot. This was a conceptual drawing just showing where the open space would be. I wouldn't count all those trees to be in there.
But you're going to be having some kind of amenities behind those lots?
Yes.
17, 18, and...
Yes, in that area.
Yes. No further questions.
All right, sir, Mr. Lamb. Where are you going? Mr. Couts.
No questions, sir.
For Mr. Abbott.
No questions.
Mr. Roberts.
No questions.
All right. Well, we thank you. If you would take a seat for a moment, we'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-85, Ernest H. Hossie III? In favor, okay. Mr. Moore, and then
No, ladies first. Why don't you come on up first? Sorry, you gotta wait. Not used to having so many people in favor.
I'm Colleen Briggs. The drainage pond is going to go right in my front yard, and my husband's going to landscape it, and I have no problem with it. I think it'll be really nice.
Okay.
Having the development right there. So, and I've been there 11 years by ourselves, so right. You know, I think it'll be really nice to have a little neighborhood out there.
Well, you're not related to the applicant at all.
Hmm?
And so you're not related to the applicant at all.
No, not at all. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Mrs. Briggs.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Moore?
Hi, my name is Don Moore, and I own the property to the to the south of that proposed subdivision. And I, when I first heard about it, it's always a shock to be invaded by a subdivision. But when I heard it was going to be a cluster project, then I thought, well, that's the best that we could hope. I do, however, have a few questions, and I'm not sure that I understand exactly the buffer zone. And I'm going to be more concerned with things that are going to affect my property, of course. The buffer zone, is that actually part of a lot for its density, or is that considered part of the open space?
That's part of the open space. It's actually not part of individual lots, at least the way the site plan's drawn. Lots 12, 13, and 14 would run along your common boundary. And the lot line is 50 feet from the boundary of the whole parcel with your property.
So I guess that would have the same question that we had on a prior subdivision where that open space, whether it would have access. Actually, I don't want it to have access, so I don't really care about that. However, I think one statement that needs to be made as a result of everything I've heard here tonight is Leland Cypress is a bad bush. Okay.
You're on the record.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. And I can prove it if I had more time.
You don't, so go ahead.
The primary purpose, well, the stormwater is, I just wonder what the default is for the two stormwater ponds where, for example, the pond that's out on the highway, where it goes from there. I've seen those ditches get pretty waterlogged along there with excess water, and if the ditches along the road are where the default for that stormwater pond is, then I just think somebody should consider that, and I'm sure Conservation District will. The I question the need in a development like that for sidewalks. I think that just creates more impervious area that creates more of a water problem, and so if he feels that that's being required for some other reason other than I, you know, I just don't think in a subdivision like that it's totally necessary. The purpose of my ownership of my land, and we developed it solely for wildlife enhancement and particularly for hunting. And when a property, when a structure is built, a dwelling that is built close to your property line, then that effectively represents a taking of property rights. You can't fire a gun, you can't hunt, you can't utilize that property in the way that I own it and intend to use it. So therefore, and I haven't studied this, so I don't know exactly. I mean, they're saying that the woods is not going to be disturbed yet, and I can't see where the property lines go, but it looks like you would have to build on the lots that are adjacent to my property that you would have to build in the woods.
Because the lot line's shown on there. You can see where the...
Yeah, I couldn't see that from where I was sitting.
Okay.
So that's
what
I needed to
do. Jump right up there.
So, there are...
Here's your boundary.
What's a rear yard setback?
There's a 50-foot buffer. We call it agriculture.
Right, but then there's a setback from the property.
Rear yard setback's 20.
Yeah.
And without measuring the distances and figuring it out, but there's a you cannot hunt within 100 yards, I believe is correct, of the or 300 feet of a structure, and so therefore I would like some consideration there where some setback be agreed to make sure that the houses are kept forward of a what would be 300 feet of the property line, and that would be my primary concern. Also, there are other uses for our land. We're in an agricultural preservation district, so are there other agricultural uses that would provide noises and smells and all of those things that late night activities and that kind of thing that I just want the.
That's required by state law since you're an
agriculturalist. Okay, so just so that's on record, and if that's required by state law.
I think the right to farm notice has to be in the deeds of the lot owner.
Yeah,
right?
It does.
Yeah, so
an ag preservation district requires the same note the county does for property that are in ag preservation.
So it'll be in the individual deeds.
So it'll have to be included.
Be in the individual deeds.
And other than that, I just appreciate the fact that it looks like they've done a nice job, and it looks like and I just appreciate the care and concern for going into a neighborhood with a development and doing it in a cluster form. So,
thank you. All right, sir. Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak in favor? Would anyone like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-85? Yes, ma'am.
Boy, this is my first time, and I hope it's my last. Goodness sakes.
You'll be fine. You'll be just fine. Just tell us who you are.
Judy Pfeiffer.
Hi, how are you?
I have 10 acres on the west side of this property.
Mm-hmm.
And my passion about this property that Mr. Hasse owns is it was once my grandparents. And that property, that original 180-acre farm was farmed until about 1975. And then, approximately 1975. And then my grandfather and grandmother started having it tilled. The same people still till my part of my land and my sister's property. And it is good land, by the way, Mr. Brutt. I live on my 10 acres of land. I moved it back in spring of 2002 for the rural life, the quiet life, and for retirement. I feel like that's being disrupted at this point with this program or this development that's being planned. There's extensive hunting on my land and my sister's land and my daughter's land, which is the adjoining 30-acre farm to the west of this property. That's a concern of mine. Not counting the traffic on Route 18. The traffic on Route 18, especially at that very point where it's a straight stretch from Cokesbury Church to Collins Pond. There is passing there, which should probably have no passing. It's very dangerous. This is only going to add to more traffic. And that's a real concern of mine. I've had to prevent myself from being in accidents, just pulling out of my driveway. I find this development, when I got the notice about it, my heart just sank, and my sister's too. But it's totally out of the character of this rural area. Not a mini village is what I want to call it. If there were three, four, five more houses, but not a little cluster development, I call it an overkill for the land that was once farmland. 21 lots on 31.7 acres is just what I call overkill. I know my neighbor who bought my grandparents' house and property with that is also, he had also moved to the area for the same reason, his family. Unfortunately, he is joining right up with this proposed development. My next project is putting up a buffer of, not Leland Cypress, but something for privacy and noise control. I am totally, totally, totally against this proposal.
Okay. All right, thank you. Does anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, my name is Barbara Hall. But
are
I'm
you
not,
sorry your name is
well,
Barbara Hall?
No, I'm not sorry my name is Barbara Hall, but I meant to say I'm not really here in opposition. I kind of fall into the same category as the woman many, many hours ago. I'm not for and I'm not against. I'm kind of that category you don't have.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Okay. So it's not that I oppose the subdivision. I have some concerns because my husband and I moved here in 1999 and for the purpose of retiring. And one of the attractions to our property, which is a little bit shy, 28 acres, is that it was sold with restrictions prohibiting subdividing of our land. It was to be one home per parcel. And so this is a very big disappointment to us. But that's okay. It's not the first disappointment in life. But the only thing that I do oppose to is the kind of the design and the cluster. The homes, may I show you?
Sure, go ahead.
We don't mind at all, my husband and I, these homes here. This, I think our home where we're living is about right here. Mm-hmm. And so all these homes down here are right on our, just about on our property line here. It's up here in the front, the main road, that we're just very disappointed with. And it's a cul-de-sac, and I just have a question. Are these the backs of, I don't quite understand this.
Typically the houses will face the cul-de-sac road.
So that the backs of these three homes here will be facing the main?
Yes. Typically, that's the way it's done.
The backs will be facing the road.
I doubt that won't let them have separate entrances on, too.
Yeah, they can't have an entrance on there.
So they'll be, their front yard will be off.
Doesn't mean you couldn't face the house that way.
Oh, yeah.
We first heard of the applicant's intention to you know, subdivide and put a development about a year and a half ago, and we thought it was going to be about 10 homes, and that's what we were kind of hoping for. Yeah. I also agree with a person in front of me that thought it was just a lot of homes to be built, to be put there. And I guess that's just about it. I was hoping that maybe the design would be different in that with the traffic, and it just looks like an awful lot of homes to put in a small area.
All right, thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Mary Lukaszewski. We live at 13534 Seashore Highway, which is a couple of lots down from where the subdivision is supposed to be and right next door to the halls, which Barbara just spoke to you. I just have some concerns. I'm not against a subdivision as a subdivision, but I think that in this particular location, there are some things which I think the Planning and Zoning Board should be aware of before they give their approval. This development is brought right on almost the Bridgeville-Georgetown line. We have Georgetown addresses, Bridgeville phone numbers. It took us a couple of years before we found out basic things like what fire department serves our area. I now know that the nearest fire station is in Bridgeville, and that serves our area. It's 7.5 miles away. The area is served by the Delaware State Police. We have no local police force. Basic services, which I think that you probably take for granted in most of your homes, are phone service. We have a patchwork, and I'm using Verizon's own words now, we have a patchwork of old lines that are over capacity, and Verizon said there is nothing in the budget to upgrade our service. Regular landline telephone service is inconsistent. Homes immediate to this proposed development were without telephone service for 22 days in September, 10 days in October, and 2 days in November. Most cell phone service is inconsistent. We get many busy lines. So in case of an emergency, we have the EMT service and Bridgeville Fire Department a good distance away, and you can't depend on telephone to get through to them. It's a very difficult area sometimes to live in. We have no DSL lines available if you want to use a computer. You're dependent on the regular dial-up service if your phone's working. We have no cable service. Comcast goes out as far as Cokesbury Church from Georgetown, and they have no plans to expand their service any further in the foreseeable future. The Sussex Planning and Zoning may approve developments in outlying areas, but is the county coordinating its approvals with those responsible for providing necessary services? If you keep allowing subdivisions way out of town, you know, you've got to think about the services for them, the fire stations, more police service, EMTs, even sufficient phone service. As far as the traffic goes, Mr. Moore, I think it was, who said the traffic in this area is quite bad. It's the main thoroughfare from the Bay Bridge to the beach. The section of road on which the development will be built is a straightaway, which gives drivers the incentive to drive at high speeds. The access and entrance to these homes are susceptible to accidents, as we've already had a number of them in this vicinity each year. There's brand new tire tracks if you go out that way on the road, which lead right into the ditch across from this property. They pulled somebody out of the ditch very recently. I have trouble getting out of my driveway, and I've almost been involved in a couple of collisions. You sit there and you wait for a chance to get out on Route 18, and you pull out of your driveway, and somebody coming from Georgetown decides to pass a line of cars just as you pull out of your driveway. And I've had a couple occasions where I've almost gone into the ditch trying to avoid a head-on collision. We're only one house and one driveway, but even 20 houses means that's 20 more times that accidents may happen. And I think that because Delta isn't going to upgrade anything on Route 18 in the near future, that if anybody builds 20 houses, they've got to configure the access to Route 18 in such a manner that you have either a long lead-in or sufficient room to make a correction, not just the road with a stop sign. That road, they travel very fast there. We have a state policeman on duty almost every night at Cokesbury Church to catch the speeders, and he does vary his routine. Sometimes he parks in our driveway. It's a dangerous straight road. The last comment I want to make is that this area is not in the growth area as described by the planning and zoning and Governor Miner's livable Delaware thing. I don't know that we should be encouraging large-scale developments. And to me, 20 houses is a large-scale development for that area. If you go up and down Route 18, I don't think you would find another 20-house development anywhere that empties out into the road. So to me, it's a large scale. I just think that there are better places for it. The surrounding properties have houses, have horses, dogs, and it was used as hunting land. It's a rural area, and I think most of us moved there because it was. And lastly, and to me not leastly, least of importance, is the fact that when we bought our property, we had restrictions on it that said we couldn't subdivide our property, and those restrictions covered lots 1 through 6, and 1, 2, 3, and 4 lots are the lots primarily along the front of this development, and I own lots 5 and 6. So if I can't subdivide my property, I would like to know how Mr. Hossie can subdivide his lots 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Well, perhaps because he didn't have a deed restriction.
No, they're there.
I don't know.
I have the copy of the deed restriction myself that says lots 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 cannot be subdivided. And you people have them too, because we went downstairs the other day and looked them up in the
what lot deeds. Number is Mr. Hossie's? 3 and 4?
That's in the front lots along Route 18, where there's 6 houses, the cul-de-sac. And I'm curious about it, not because I don't want him to build his houses, but because my deed restriction says I cannot have a kennel. But if he can have 6 houses, then I can have a kennel, which makes me very happy.
I don't think you should jump to that conclusion necessarily.
No, I have 6 acres, so I meet the minimum acreage requirement. But do I have a copy of deed with me?
From the deeds that they've provided as part of their exhibit book, you know, now this isn't a full title search, but I don't see that there's anything within their individual deeds that would.
Well,
say
it says that that the restrictions are in force. I believe it's worded that any of the sellers or their survivors, the land shall remain as is.
Rudd, can you save us any time here?
I reviewed the deeds that I attached, and there are restrictions, but nothing about subdividing.
Thank you.
Ma'am,
what's in your deed?
Turn it down there.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to give you a lot of leeway on this because I don't want to go through the entire chain of title. But do you have something?
This isn't the good one. I'm looking for another one. This just says 1, 2,
let me take
and
a
6,
look at
and
it.
I got this from downstairs the other day. I'm just looking. Number 8.
That's only lots 1, 2, and 6.
Six. And well, it's also 3, 4, and 5.
here's the advice that I'm going to give the commission, ma'am, which is the same advice that I've given the commission on this issue a number of times. That is that deed restrictions are enforceable contractual obligations between private property owners, and the Planning and Zoning Commission is not going to get into whether restrictions prohibit them from deciding whether or not it's appropriate land use again to subdivide the property. If there's a private cause of action with regard to a restriction against subdivision, that may be between you and them, or you know, a group of property owners.
What I'm concerned is when I came in and I went to Planning and Zoning when we first moved down here, and
ma'am, I'm going to ask you
if you could just
to the podium, please, and address the whole commission.
Okay, and I asked them if I could have a private kennel. I show dogs as a hobby, and I don't have 20 dogs. I have like 5. And they said to me, no, there's a restriction on your deed. Now, this was in Planning and Zoning that says you cannot have a kennel. And so I said, okay, fine. You know, I'll make do with dogs living in my house. I've done it in the past. I can do it now.
Ma'am, before, just because
it's quarter of 11, and I appreciate your plight, but where you're headed now really doesn't have anything to do with the merits of this subdivision.
Well, it does, because I would like a definition from the Planning and Zoning as to what are restrictions. I mean, what are the meaning of them? I just told you,
restrictive covenants are private contractual obligations that may run with and bind your land. They may not or may run with and bind their land. However, we're not going to get into tonight what restrictions you have on your property or what restrictions they have on their property. If you feel that you have something that you can enforce against them to stop them from subdividing this property, that's between you and them. We're looking at what our ordinances say and whether or not this property complies with those ordinances and everything that governs the subdivision of land and whether it should be approved. Now, we do understand your point, and it's very well made and well taken that you know what you're saying. However, we're not going to get into tonight, as I said, restrictive covenant issues, particularly at quarter of 11 at night when we've got another public hearing, and you've already said the issue at hand.
Well, I was hoping that at least you would take the time to look at the deeds and see what you can come up with.
And we did. He just did.
Well, I don't know that he has what I found downstairs the other day.
Ma'am, what I would suggest to you is that you might want to consult an attorney.
I'm not going to bother going into that deep. My feelings are not that strong about it. It's just that I was hoping.
Well, then would you kindly sit down?
Fine.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I am going to close the public testimony at this point. I think a point has been well made numerous times. Gentlemen, are there any questions? Anyone on the commission? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. You may remain with us for the rest of the evening, or you may call the office tomorrow to see if we've made a decision. Our next public hearing is subdivision 2005-86, Dale Wheatley.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Nanticoke 100, Sussex County, dividing 27.65 acres into 34 lots, utilizing the cluster development concept located west of Road 598, 600 feet north of Road 611. And then I would ask, we did receive a booklet on this application and a revised plans. The booklet includes a table of contents and includes references to the application, the covenants and restrictions, the boundary survey, legal description, cluster development concept, existing conditions, tech comments.
Hang on for a minute, Mr. Lang. Ladies and gentlemen, we are still having a meeting. I need for you, please, if you're going to talk, I need you to do it out in the lobby. Mrs. Hall. It's like kids.
Approvals, maps, references to soils, and findings and conclusions. Nope. And conditions, I'm sorry. Don't answer.
All right, sir.
Mr. Abbott may have some additional comments.
Mr. Abbott, do you have any additional comments?
Report will be
right, sir. Is there anyone here representing this application?
Yes, sir. Davidson Brevity.
I would advise you that brevity would be a key. However, before you start, I want to ask yes. Mr. Wheatley to come up here. I want to ask him something. And I need you to read your name into the record for me.
Okay. My name's Dale Wheatley.
Okay. What is a tillery?
A tillery?
What's tillery?
It's an old farm name, came out of North Carolina, that my wife fell in love with. So you go ask her.
A farm name for what? Name for a farm?
An old farm name.
An old
yes.
farm, like you would call your farm your
yes.
tillery?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be doggone.
Yep.
Well, I've learned two words tonight. Thank you, sir. You may certainly.
You knew
you're
what
welcome to stay
I
there.
Guess you knew what Hamlet was.
I knew that one. I knew that one.
It's not Webster's. Tillery is not Webster's.
Isn't that something? It's not it wasn't in the dictionary.
But the key is they got to put McMansions on the tillery.
Well, I don't think Mr. Wheatley would do a thing like that. All right, Mr. Davidson. On